Good morning, everybody. Today is Friday. Yay, it's Friday, April 7th, 2017. And this is Before the First Cup with Jules here on UCY.TV. Happy Friday, everyone. It is a soggy, damp, cold 34 degrees with light snow, fog, mist, per AccuWeather here in upstate New York. Looks like we got 3 or 4 inches overnight of wet, heavy snow. It had been pouring with rain here for probably the last 24 hours or so. Actually, it rained all week, maybe stopped for a little bit on Wednesday and then started again. But at some point last night, the temperature dipped and it turned to heavy, wet snow. Thank God it's only 3 or 4 inches. But all my plants were blooming. All the trees are budding. All the irises are popping up through the ground. And now they are buried under inches of snow. It's all right. By Monday, I think I saw 75 originally, and now it's saying 79 as a high on Monday. So we're going to go from winter to summer in just a few short days. So where do we leave off yesterday? We titled the show Frequencies, DOD, Psychotronic Weapons, and the Voices in Your Head. And I know that sounds funny, but honestly, we spent a couple weeks now looking at frequencies and wavelengths and what the different bandwidths are used for and some of the different technologies and some of the military applications, some of the research that they've been doing. We looked a lot back at Bell Labs, really at the very beginning of wireless communications and where they started beaming voices and creating artificial capabilities to create voices. That was that artificial larynx. Couldn't believe that artificial larynx came up again in a story like 70 years later. It was just the bizarrest thing. And we've looked at energy weapons, targeted individuals. By the way, part three, the final part of the Dr. Horton interview with Tim Kelly is going to air this Saturday. I don't know. I think Tim's on at 7 p.m. Eastern. If not, just hit one of Tim's videos on UCY. In his notes, a link to his Podcast-O-Matic channel if you happen to miss it or whatever. And you want to catch the whole thing in its entirety, you can go there. But highly recommended. The guest is very reputable. And she has quite the story to tell. And guys, I'm telling you, I really used to think that a lot of this technology and people talking about being targeted and, you know, some of these weird 21st century George Jetson-y type weapons were way into the future. And anyone who was talking about them now maybe had a little bit of a screw loose or watched a little too much Stargate or something. But I hate to say it. I mean, it's frightening to think that these technologies have been in development for a generation or more. I mean, if we really start digging back to where the quote-unquote PSYOP began, I see a lot of this beginning, and I'm sure even before, but beginning, at least on the American people, from Operation Paperclip. And I know I have one listener, Electronic Commerce. He's been sending me some really good stuff, links on the history and kind of how we've ended up here. I saw this morning there was another message that actually went back to World War One. You know, you have to think, I mean, we had the globalists, and we had all the big foundations. Rockefeller Foundation was probably one of them, and all the big boys that are pulling the strings. And I mean, this has been going on forever. And we had Edward Bernays, who was brought into the fold to help lull the masses and get them to follow the Pied Piper into the mousetrap. So now we are about in that mousetrap, and that is called the 21st century in technology. One of the things that has been the holy grail is being able to control the masses. And though Bernaysian philosophy has been quite effective over the last, three or four generations. I mean, at least from, I can think back, like my grandparents, my great grandparents, they first came here back in the early 1900s. And they had a farm. And they were trying to make a new life for themselves. They were fleeing persecution, and all of the horrible things that were happening in Poland. They were just exterminating everybody. It didn't matter who you were or what you were, they were going to kill them all. And I find it interesting. We found out the other day that Wernher von Braun was Polish. He was born in a Polish town, and it almost sounded like it was on the side of Eastern Germany. But makes me wonder if Wernher von Braun didn't have some Jewish blood in him. There were a lot of Polish Jews up there, and how he ended up working for the Third Reich. It just I thought he was a pure blood German. I did not realize that he was from Poland. But anyway, so they came here fleeing persecution, started their little farm, actually up here in upstate New York. I used to go there when I was a kid. They had a stock pond. My uncle would go in his waders up to his chest and go fishing in the reeds. I never did that. But they had eight kids, and the kids all helped run the farm. My grandma, great grandma, she had one of those big old cast iron stoves, the big ones, big ones that had the four burner circles on top. But you loaded it with wood, and we would go there for dinner. I remember going there for Thanksgiving once when I was a kid, and there must have been 30 of us there because there were eight kids, and then they were all grown and they had kids. Those were all my cousins, and we were all little banshees running around the farm. And I don't know, they probably had a good 20, 30, 40 acres out there. And there were cows across the street. They didn't have cows. They just had fish. They didn't really have any animals. They did fields and stuff. But I remember her cooking this turkey in the stove that's got flames shooting out over the little round things on top where you also boiled water. It was nuts. But you know, then all my aunts and uncles, the children of my great grandparents and my grandfather, they all became the real first generation of America. You know, the early 20s into 30s, getting out of World War I, heading toward World War II, but really the beginning of like industrial automation, and not industrial automation as in today, as in like assembly lines and the beginnings of consumerism and starting to sell things. And they all were entrepreneurs. All my uncles had businesses, and they all worked in cars, and they all had their own thing, and they all did really well. And then you had my dad's generation, and all those eight kids all had kids. And, you know, then by that time, we already were involved in World War II and out of World War II. And this is when the 50s really kicked into play. This is when convenience was sold to America, technology and convenience, as a way to do more, as a way to be able to, you know, and we found out too, this is really when they were pushing for women to get into the workplace. And a lot of this, I mean, if you ever watch Century of the South, and if you haven't, I highly recommend it. It is a very long documentary. The full length is about 3 hours, but highly, highly worth it. You will find lots of puzzle pieces that never made sense to you as how it all connected together. You would go, oh, I get it now. It's all been a big joke. Consumerism is all a big joke. And they've been using it to manipulate and control us. And there have been all kinds of other things added on top of it. But remember, it's always been a psyop. It's been about how to control the masses and obviously how to profit from the masses. And the control, because they've been doing a very, very good job of it. So then we get into my our generation. took us into the 80s. The 80s really tried to show us some kind of science fiction world where we would believe in the promise of technology and embrace the machine. And this is where it frightens me because now I didn't have kids in my 20s. I waited until I was almost 40, which, I don't know, pros and cons of that one. I guess I probably would have had a hell of a lot more energy in my 20s. But on the other hand, in my 20s, I wasn't ready. Absolutely not. No way. It wouldn't have happened. But I might have had more patience in my 20s because now I'm just no nonsense. Chop, chop. Stick to a schedule. It's time for cleaning or whatever. I mean, I don't know. But you know what? It's good. It's good. It's good. But, and I think it is a good thing because I'm going to tell you something. A lot of the parents, a lot of my friends that I grew up with that had kids in their 20s, we just had these devices, these tablets and handhelds and all this stuff back a generation ago. We had all this stuff that just was coming out. It was a really neat little tool to give your kid to keep them busy. And now we're discovering this whole dopamine addiction. And this whole, I don't even know how you put it. They found this whole biochemical process, this execution that happens in the brains that with training, and i.e., the kids keep getting that dopamine dose by pushing that button or firing that electronic gun to kill invaders while they're playing war games. And as they train their brain, they do this what's called entrainment. And that dopamine area gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And they've discovered in fMRIs that children, some children that they have looked at with video game addiction, and remember too, even in places like Japan and China, I think it was China actually, they have these internet addiction boot camps for these kids. They found that kids with this video game addiction that they looked at, their brains look very similar to brains of people with psychopathic personality disorder, where they have this dopamine imbalance, where they require more and more and more of it to get a thrill. It's this whole chemical imbalance. It causes a chemical imbalance. And that chemical imbalance is very easy if you've been spending years studying it, like the military has. It's very easy to utilize that chemical, that dopamine, to manipulate and control people, to get people to open their arms and to invite in the machine. And guys, really, if we look back at the last 100 years, and we're just about there now, from like the beginnings of the robber barons to now, that's exactly what they've done. And now we're at this point, the military has taken technology to the nth degree to where they can just like beam frequencies meow, into our head and implant, we discovered yesterday, implant subconscious thoughts that we don't even know about. And I ran across some stuff about that yesterday, but I don't know, guys. I'm having some major allergy things going on right now, so I'm feeling a little fuzzy this morning, but it's all right. They can beam crap into our head with us knowing or not. They can put voices in your head. They can make it your voice. They can make it someone else's voice. They can make you not even know they're putting it in there. And it could just be suggestions that you think are things you come up with. It's nuts. So then let's move it a little bit forward. So we got into wearables. I mean, we've talked about all kinds of things over the last few months or so, we were looking at that voice-to-skull technology. That was it. And actually, I did not mention this yesterday, so let's do this. We talked about voice-to-skull, but I didn't mention that I found a story on Wired Magazine in 2008. Army yanks the voice-to-skull device website. Now, I've seen that happen a few times on DARPA, where I've covered something and I've been linking to a site where they had like diagrams and they were showing exactly some of this crazy technology I've been talking about. And all of a sudden, boop, the DARPA site is gone. I think one was some of the origins of that biological technologies office when they had first announced it. And that is the merging of biology and technology, you know, where they're like doing mad science gone mad. Yes, some of that stuff, the early stuff disappeared. So, yes, Army Yanks voice-to-skull device website. The Army's very strange webpage on voice-to-skull weapons has been removed. And again, like I said, this was August. May. I don't know. It's really tiny. I got to get my bifocals. 5-0-8-0-8. So, May 8th, 2008, they published this story. And it was strange that it was there, and it's even stranger that now it's gone. And if you Google it, you will see the entry for Voice to Skull Devices, but if you click on the website, it says the link is dead. Now, I've told you before, if you ever run across that, there's a little tiny arrow underneath the title in the Google search there on the search page. If you click that little arrow, you might get lucky, and it might say cached. If there is something that says cached there, then click on cached. That is, if you can't find the original. Because Google might have scraped it, and Google might have a copy of it. So you might thwart the people who think they're so slick willy by once they put something up by mistake, when, whoop, we got to remove this. I got some harp stuff like that, too, that maybe we're going to get to today, I'm hoping. So I'd like to wrap this up now for a couple weeks at least and let my brain rest. All right, so the entry still available on the Federation of American Scientists website reads, non-lethal weapons. This is where you're reading about these voice-to-skull. Non-lethal weapons, which include one, a neuro-electromagnetic device which uses microwave transmissions of sound into the skull of persons or animals. And I gotta tell you, I have seen three or four times now references to animals. And I'm gonna tell you why this scares me. Because we read a story not too long ago about them finding the spots in the brain while testing it on mice where they could shine a laser. But hey, laser light is just another part of the spectrum. They might be able to find other ways. Making a frequency to generate some sort of activity in that same sort of the brain, part of the brain. But they've found a way with lasers currently to turn mice into predators. Remember, it makes their jaws start chomping and they attack anything that is in front of them. Now you go, well, Jill, why would you be afraid of little mousies? Well, first of all, little mousies aren't predators, okay? Little mousies are foragers. Secondly, there's probably millions of little mousies all over the woods, all over everywhere. Number three, little mousies can be carriers of some pretty debilitating diseases such as hantavirus or the Black Plague. Actually, I think there were a couple of the plagues that they had blames on little rodents up in the Pacific Northwest. As well as, who knows, you know, they carry ticks, so maybe they could have some Lyme, whatever. I'm sure they could have all kinds of stuff. So now, turn millions of little mousies that are potentially infected with human killer diseases into predators that run out of the woods and just start gnawing at anything that gets in its way with its little sharp pointy teeth. That, guess what? Rodent's teeth just keep growing forever and ever. They got to wear them down, otherwise they grow into their skulls. Yes, that's true. I had a bunny rabbit. All rodents are like that. Guys, we got one of the scariest weapons I think I have ever thought about. You know, my brain always goes, while I'm sleeping. And I think about things like this. My brain just does doomsday scenarios all the time, like what ifs and worst case possible scenario, so that when it never ends up that bad, then I always feel pretty good about it. But I hate to say it, my brain just does that. And killer little mousies by the millions. And remember, here's another thing. My mother worked for an exterminator for years when I was a kid. So we know a lot about bugs and pests, such as mice. Mice have no bones. Mice have cartilage. And mice can squeeze through some of the smallest little cracks and crevices anywhere. You might have a shed. You might think that shed is completely sealed up, and surprise, you open that shed up in the spring and you find out your entire awning looks like a paper doll because some industrious little mousie got through that tiny little pinhole between the two double doors. I'm just saying, guys, it's horrifying. And what made me even start thinking of that was when DARPA announced their whole Insect Allies program. Remember that too? Where they were going to use bacteria, kind of similar to what they were doing with mosquitoes and the Wolbachia bacteria, where they would infect the mosquitoes so then they were incompatible to mate with other mosquitoes by giving them a disease. Well, they were thinking about doing some of the same similar things, not for mating though, but they would infect insects with the genetically modified bacteria that then when the insects went onto the plants and it nibbled on the plants, it would then infect the plants with the bacteria that they genetically modified and infect the insects with. And that bacteria would then go into the plant and genetically modify it on the fly. And then, of course, we would eat those plants. So who the hell knows what it would do to us? But I'm just saying, guys, they are weaponizing all of nature, right? We've talked about the bugs and the bees and the robo bees and the fuzzy little creatures. And now we're even talking wavelengths and being able to target things such as brains. And I mean, if they can already do things like this to humans, at least on paper, but there are many people out there. And like I said, a lot of these people who have said, oh, they've heard voices before they've done a mass shooting or something, it's got to really make you wonder if they really were loop-de-loo or if they were some sort of experiment gone bad or false flag to maybe further the agenda for gun control. You know, hey, what's a few people make him look like he's a lunatic and then we can get guns banned everywhere and it'll be really easy to take over America then when nobody's armed. Guys, I'm just saying. And we see so much underhandedness in every step of the way. They're trying to find ways to manipulate and control us. And just a few years ago, literally, if you would have thrown any of this on the table at me, I would have said, you know what? It's been nice knowing you. Thanks, but no thanks. You know, I might have even entertained it over a beer or two. Then I would have gone home to my normal world where everything's on the clock and forgotten all about it. And it's because it's good. This is probably one of my favorite quotes of all time. It was Einstein, actually. Condemnation without investigation is the grandest form of ignorance, or something along those lines. And I really think it is, because I have got to say that over the last 6 years, there have got to be thousands of subjects. And then literally, I mean, over the last 5 or 6 years, I've probably delved into thousands of different things. But there have got to be thousands of subjects. I always thought I was a smarty pants, that I knew everything. As one of those people, I knew everything. You couldn't tell me a damn thing. And I've really worked hard to get over that, because that always worked to my detriment. I didn't realize it at the time, but I do now. Shut up, Jewel, and listen. That was a hard lesson for me. But when I started listening, even if I didn't agree, even if I didn't believe, even if I had 1,000 reasons why you were wrong, I had to listen because there was probably something in there somewhere that was a puzzle piece to something I didn't know. And when I pulled on that thread, hey, it ends up there were 10,000 things I didn't know. And it gets way deeper than I ever imagined. And that's kind of how my whole journey began, is because I finally learned to shut up and listen, and to listen to people who didn't agree with me. And I don't have to believe what you believe, but I should at least listen to what you have to say, because even though we don't agree, we probably have some information that each of us could share and benefit from, and then learn from each other, and then maybe even explain our own differences so we can agree to disagree. And we can still be friends, and we don't have to kill each other or shoot bombs or missiles because of ideological differences. This whole thing going on in Syria, not really sure who's on whose side right now. You know, some people are saying, they let Putin know that it was coming, and this is really just kind of a setup because they're all friends in the back end. You know what? I almost don't think so. I wanted to hope so in the beginning, but I am almost thinking that the neocons now have wrestled the rest of any autonomy that Trump thought he had out of his hands, and they're running the show now. That whole throwing Bannon off that committee, I think, was the telltale sign. Not that I agreed with Bannon being on that committee and throwing out senior level staff and putting him in place and having them only show up, you know, when they deemed it important. I thought that was kind of dumb too. But I think it was a telltale sign when they decided that Bannon was off that team, that they were taking over and they were going to make things happen the way that they had planned. And, you know, the fact that Xi is in the country, so we got China, the Chinese president is in the country, and I don't know if he's still there. I haven't seen if there was any statement from him or not. And then you have Putin, who was standing up for Assad. I really thought last year they had agreed that there was going to be a transition and that Assad was going to be moved out. We all know that Assad, they keep saying that Assad did these attacks, chemical weapon attacks. But I'm going to tell you, if I were Assad and the whole world thought it was me doing chemical weapons attacks on my people, how freaking dumb would I be to do it again? Right? They had some ceasefire going on. Nobody was bombing right now. Things were kind of a little bit stabilized. Nobody was in his face. Why would I be so freaking stupid to do it again? I wouldn't. So we have the neocons, the, what's his name, little cranky bastard that had bamboo shoots up his nails. Oh, I can't stand him. McCain. And, you know, we have McCain. McCain has gone full out mutiny. And he's been pounding the warpath to get back in there again and oust Assad. So, you know what? McCain just gave his guys the green light. The ones that we bag tag trained, funneled all the weapons in, put them in through Turkey and whatever that other country was. So we trained them. CIA trained them all. And we just set them all loose. And I mean, I think that's all been pretty well documented, even by mainstream sources. So every time they sit there and say, well, ISIS and all these quote unquote, and I mean, we literally trained and gave weapons to the quote unquote moderate Syrian rebels, which were never moderate to begin with. Anyone who's listened to Brandon Turberville for a while knows that they are the bad guys. So McCain just gave him a wink and said, hey, you got some of those stores here. We'll even wheel it back across the border from some other country where we have it hidden. Just let it go. And then we'll blame it on Assad. And again, we'll come up with some bullshit reason to go bomb some other country. And, hey, it might even get exciting because Putin isn't going to put up with this shit for too much longer. Now, interesting, over the last few weeks, we have been looking at capabilities of these weapons that the United States have and Russia and some of the potential future. This really puts us now at the doorstep of whether or not World War III is going to begin. And it's frightening, guys. It really is frightening. You know, people are talking about nukes yesterday. Again, I still think nuke schmook. They're not going to use nukes. I don't think so. I think if they use something, it's going to be some sort of energy weapon or some sort of covert control mechanism. No. This whole thing is just a big mess. And I don't know why we even talked about that. I guess put on a seatbelt. I looked just before the show, and there really wasn't much of anything new. Putin condemned the attacks. I haven't, like I said, seen anything out of Z. I think Trump discovered the other day that he is but yet just another puppet to the controllers that are pulling all these strings. So anyway, back to this voice-to-skull device. And it makes you even wonder, like, how we had Trump make a full-about face on his stance in Syria. Now, I saw a couple things. I saw, oh, right after the bombing, guess what? Oil prices went way back up. Everybody's portfolio that was invested in oil that lost all kinds of money just got filthy rich again. So that would explain why the neocons wanted to go back in there. I think there was something to do with the pipeline that was involved. I don't know, was Russia involved in that pipeline or not? That pipeline was supposed to be going through Syria from Turkey and maybe even Russia to Europe. So maybe, just maybe, this might just be all a ploy. I don't know. But another thing that's interesting, and guys, this is just a bunch of thoughts based on weeks and weeks now of all the stuff we've been covering. Is, you know, we had Trump, he was very vocal in the beginning about fighting the machine. If you notice, he's gotten pretty damn quiet now. But we found out that some of these frequency technologies, these voice-to-skull devices, they've been able to not only put a voice in someone's head that sounds like them, we've had that voice morpher since 1999, but then we find out that they can put it right into your subconscious and make you think that it's one of your ideas. Oh. How do we know that they're not using some crazy stuff like this on our president? I don't know. Just tossing that out there. But if the deep state is so against Trump and they were so against his election, the deep state is really kind of the ones that own this technology. Boop, 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 boop. Red alert, red alert. Just saying, this would be pretty frightening. Very frightening if they are able to literally manipulate and control somebody such as the president. And who would be looking out for him? Well, the same people who would be manipulating and controlling him. So either go along or we take control. I don't know, people. I'm just being dumb. But maybe I'm not being dumb. You know, I'm trying to figure out where this about face came from. He had been very against going into Syria. He wanted to be friends with Russia. Now we probably just pissed Putin right the hell off. And like I said, in the middle of having Z here in the country doing this, you know, whole goodwill thing. It wasn't really goodwill. We were kind of giving him the 1-2 on those South China Sea islands, but still, I don't think that's a good exclamation point. Without one, just 1 hour warning, and you go in and start bombing. I don't know, guys. So anyway, the entry. Let's finish this voice to skull stuff because I got a few other things I want to tell you about. I ran across yesterday this entry about this voice to skull technology, even though it's removed from the Army's webpage, is still on the Federation of American Scientists website, and it says, non-lethal weapons, which include one, a neuromagnetic device, which uses microwave transmissions of sound into the skull of persons or animals by way of pulse-modulated microwave radiation into a silent sound device, which can transmit sound into the skull of persons or animals. Note, the sound modulation may be voice or audio subliminal messages. This is from that Voice to Skull Army webpage that then was mirrored on the Federation of American Scientists. And one application of Voice to Skull, affectionately abbreviated as V2K, is use as an electronic scarecrow to frighten birds in the vicinity of airports. Huh. How interesting is that? The UK-based group Christians Against Mental Slavery first, that would be a good group, first noted the change, and they also have a permanent screenshot of the page. A representative of the group tells me that they contacted the webmaster, who would only tell them that the entry was permanently removed from the Army's website. The image above is one person's self-styled depiction of how the Voice to Skull weapon might work. And yeah, I mean, they're literally showing it pretty much is just doing what we have talked about over the last 2 weeks, using some sort of microwave tower or some sort of microwave device and being able to beam inaudible frequencies. Because there is an audible range in microwave frequencies into the head. And this has been able to be done since 1974. It says this is converted to voice FM. It's silent hypnosis. It can be transmitted using voice frequency modulators to generate voice, then pulsed wave microwave voice to skull for distance. I don't know, guys. I don't know what else to say except that let's hope. I mean, we found they were already doing all kinds of stuff with this technology during the Gulf Wars and with the Bushies, Dad and Baby Bush. And I wouldn't put it past them. So now, all right, so let's get back to this control structure. So we have 5G rolling out, and how interesting. I was just talking about some of the future craziness of 5G and maybe being able to do like holograms with Nana someday. That was yesterday. Well, a story was released yesterday out of Korea. Verizon and Korean Telecom made a big announcement yesterday, and I didn't know this before the show, so it was one of those moments I must have been channeling or something. But Verizon and Korean Telecom, just kidding, but it did. It just came out yesterday after my show, held the very first international live 5G hologram chat. Yep, yep, yep. Hologram calls could be the future of FaceTime. The concept of hologram virtual conversations, and actually it shows that it came out on the 3rd, but I just saw the story in my feed yesterday, is something that we've seen in sci-fi movies for decades, just like R2-D2 and Obi-Wan Kenobi, You Are My Only Hope, Princess Leia. This could soon change. Verizon and Korean telecom teams came together this week to make what the companies say is the world's first live hologram call over a 5G network. Now remember, the 5G is going to be the global Internet of Things network. They are launching CubeSats all over the upper atmosphere. And they are, this is the Air Force's plasma bombing the sky to help radio propagation, all in the name of this 5G. We are going to give internet to Africa because those poor Africans aren't connected to the control grid yet. We got to make sure we get them on there. And actually, a listener dropped me something. Speaking of Africa, some bizarro yesterday. We'll have to read that one. I think that could fit right along here with some of this weird frequency stuff. But anyway, they made the world's first live hologram call over a 5G network. The phrase hologram call made immediately bring to mind, and they even, and I've noticed they've referenced this in everything, the image such as R2-D2 displaying the hologram of Princess Leia in Star Wars, but the demonstration was actually much more basic than that. The call between Verizon and Korean Telecom featured two employees who appeared on each other's screens as holographic images. Verizon's employee was in New Jersey, and Korean Telecom's was in Seoul, South Korea. Although a blue hologram display on top of a table would have been cool, smartphones don't yet have that technology, but don't worry about it. Because so instead of holograms that still require a screen to watch and appear as 3D holographic structures eventually when 5G is commercialized, and this is exactly what I said, augmented reality is developed for phones, and they already are talking about that with the new iPhone and the new Samsung S8 or whatever it is. They're talking about like VR and AR add-ons for those. It's going to happen. Don't worry. It'll happen. But again, remember, sucking you into the machine. That's what this is all about. Suck you in even further until Uncle Ray has you begging him to help you live forever. This is what it's all about, people. Suck you right in so they can own and control everything. but once augmented reality is developed for phones, users will be able to meet a person in a remote area in a real size in real time. Making an international hologram call requires high data rates and low transfer delays on a worldwide scale. So make sure we jack up these frequencies even higher. Because guess what? We have propagation issues with 5G. But don't worry about it, because we're going to use millimeter wave as a booster. Millimeter wave, which is great for surveillance. Millimeter wave, which we had found once you get up into some of the terahertz ranges, can actually unzip DNA under some circumstances. But we won't talk about that. CRISPR is not in the headlines right now, so people won't remember about zipping and unzipping. Guys, there is some very nefarious stuff going on, and it's getting extremely complicated. It's not just about boogeymen hiding in the shadows and tapping your phone calls anymore. I mean, I think that's why these dumps from these agents, who I really don't think that they were heroes, guys. I really think that they, again, were part of a psyop. And these dumps of all the surveillance that's been going on is for the people who haven't really delved in deep. And they're like, oh my God, look at how deep it is. But it goes way, 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 way deeper. I mean, that's stuff that has been commonplace for a few generations at least now, as far as surveillance and just being able to record your phone calls. Ho-hum, right? I mean, we're talking about slipping in subconscious thoughts to remote control individuals. And they've been doing it since, what, the 70s? They've been experimenting on this since, what, World War II? I mean, this is, it's beyond lunacy. But hey, don't worry about it. Go back to sleep. We'll give you your newest, biggest, best, fastest technology, and it's going to be so damn cool because you'll be able to see Nana. And like I said, give her a big, touchable hologram, squeezy hug. You never even have to get out of your chair or even open your eyes. Just keep them closed and jack right into the back of your skull. Actually, the little Kurzweil nanobots attached to your neocortex, and you won't even have to do that. KT, Korean Telecom, is developing hologram calls as part of its new immersive media services. And, I know someone here, an old friend of mine, known for a lot of years. That's really what she's working on from the big, big, big service provider, global service provider perspective, is this immersive media, integrating these goggles and trying to sell it to large corporations to use for everything. I mean, I'm sure she's making $1,000,000,000, but this is the next step to our destruction. They are working on this as part of their new immersive media services, which will soon be available to consumers. Get all excited, people. KT, Korean Telecom's immersive media services, will also do a 360-degree live VR, which is like watching a Facebook Live, but in 360 degrees with a virtual reality headset. Right. So you could go to a boxing match or a football game or a baseball game. It'll be just like you're in the real studio or stadium. It is unclear if Verizon is also thinking of offering this services to U.S. customers. Well, I'm going to bet your bottom dollar they will be, because they already have competition. But it was mostly testing it out to demonstrate the capabilities of 5G technologies. However, it is not hard to imagine holograms being on a future iteration of a smartphone as manufacturers and carriers look to continually update what many feel has become a mature technology. Companies like Apple are reportedly working on an augmented reality technology which could be turning FaceTime into a holographic experience. Dun, dun, dun. And it's true. It's true. It's true. All right. Well, where do we go from here? I want to try and bag this up. We got about 10 minutes, so maybe I can do it. So I mentioned right at the very end of the show yesterday that there was a book that came out by a woman named Julianne McKinney. It is now out of print, but you can still find it out there. It is titled Microwave Harassment and Mind Control Experimentation. She is the director of Electronic Surveillance Project, the Association of the National Security Alumni. I don't know. She was a smart cookie. I read about her in the beginning here, but I don't know if I have that information because this is her book. But they talk about the KGB. They talk about them using mind control against dissenters in the USSR. They talk about MK Ultra and COINTELPRO and just some of the history of things that we have known about that are kind of outside. I don't know. It gets into too much detail in history right now for the amount of time that I have. but this researcher then turns it to some of the stuff with directed energy weapons and CIA, MK Ultra, and the microwave technologies with the Russians aiming it at the embassy. Remember, we talked about that. And really, when they started then getting into research on this, and they found out that, yeah, that there was a whole audible range and that you could do this voice to skull and whatever. Well, there was a section here called the Existing Directed Energy Arsenal. Our first step was to determine if any technology exists which might be used for electronic harassment. And the information was found in a white paper, she says, published in 1991 by who? Oh, the U.S. Global Strategy Council. Now, interesting again, we're finding the early 90s, beginning of the Gulf War, where a lot of these things started to surface. And this Global Strategy Council is a Washington-based organization under the chairmanship of Ray Klein, who was the former deputy director of the CIA. Again, we had George Bush Sr., who was president at that time as well, who maintains very close ties with the U.S. intelligence community. This white paper describes the foreign and domestic use foreseen for laser weapons, isotropic radiators such as HAARP, and we have some documentation of that as well, infrasound like voice to skull, non-nuclear electromagnetic pulse generators, right? EMPs, bloop, take everything out. Because a nuclear bomb detonated above the atmosphere could do that as well. They don't have to. They could just do a big EMP without it. And high-powered microwave emitters for all kinds of nifty-pifty things. The term non-lethal used to describe this technology is misleading. The energy, and they're just talking not bullets or bombs, but they could turn it up real high, make your brain explode as you throw yourself off a bridge for sure. The energy emitted from all of these weapons can kill when appropriately amplified. And thanks to good old Bell Labs, they were really good at learning all about amplification and all these different frequencies and things they could do with them in the different towers. And at low levels of amplification, they can cause extreme forms of physical discomfort and debilitation. The Department of Army, or DA for short, identifies these same weapons as non-conventional, and they were so identified in an exhibit at a DA-sponsored symposium on the soldier as a system, ding, 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 in Crystal City, Virginia, on June 30th, 1992. Beta wave incapacitators. Remember, we talked about the brain frequencies, and beta is one of those frequencies that looks like it's in the 22 to 40 hertz range. It shows anxiety, nervousness, and panic attacks as the experience in beta. It also causes your neurotransmitters of adrenaline, cortisol, and norepinephrine to be produced. So I could see that that might be beneficial for a soldier in battle. This is the soldier as a system. And I'm sure that this is the beginnings of the super soldier program. Beta wave incapacitators were separately mentioned during the symposium as of being particular interest to the U.S. Marine Corps. We discussed these non-conventional directed energy weapons with Mr. Vernon Schiltzer, manager of the exhibit and the Army's delegate to NATO in matters pertaining to the soldier as a system. Mr. Schiltzer acknowledged not only that directed energy weapons are in the DOD's arsenal, and then we had Rumsfeld and General Myers admitted, we're developing them, and we might have used them already, and we might use them again in 2003. So there's no doubt about that. But also that the American soldier will remain vulnerable to their effects should they be employed in the battlefields. And right, we discovered that Russia was working on these as well, and this was their 2011 to 2020 initiatives. The U.S. Global Strategy Council recognizes the issue of vulnerability of our soldiers, as well as urges ongoing research into effective countermeasures. Interested readers may want to send for the U.S. Global Strategy Council's complete project proposal on the subject, titled Non-Lethality: Development of a National Policy in Employing Non-Lethal Means in a New Strategic Era, prepared by Janet Morris. A number of references in this proposal to unidentified elusive enemies of the U.S. government and to the potential domestic applications of this non-lethal technology invite serious considerations by the public at large. And I will link to this in the notes. Then she gets into the bio effects of microwave radiation. Research into the biological and psychological effects of exposure to microwave radiation is voluminous. The U.S. public has been led to believe that the former Soviet Union leads in the research, but the fact is the CIA and the DOD have jointly pursued this precise same research since the commencement of the Pandora Project in the 1950s. The current primary users of this research appear to be the CIA, the DOD, the NSA, and the DOE, Department of Energy. Good old Dickie Cheney's old home. The Walter Reed Army Institute of Research has participated in this research since Project Pandora, and in 1973, they discovered that externally induced auditory input could be achieved by means of pulsed microwave audiograms or analogs of spoken word sounds. The effect on the receiving end is the schizophrenic sensation, ding-a-ling-a-ling, of hearing voices, which are not part of the recipient's own thought processes. And there was a brand new story on schizophrenia yesterday about these voices that schizophrenics hear really are their brain manufacturing this whole other voice in their head that's talking to them. But bullshit, I say. Who's to say it's not microwave auditory effect? And of course, they'll be able to zippity zap you to cure you. And I don't think we're going to be able to get to the Electar X and DARPA and their implants and how this all works together. And good old Tommy Insel, now former director, National Institute of Health director, now with Google's Verily Mental Health Division. But I'm going to tell you what, whew, thank goodness We had an Indiegogo, and I ran across this yesterday, and this is where we're going to end it up for the weekend. Indiegogo, they only needed $50,000. They raised $207,186 for a new device called ELF Emit, a wearable for the optimized self. The ELF Emit improves focus, sleep, stress, and more. And you just put a little headband on your head. The price point is going to be somewhere around $99. So it's going to be a stocking stuffer for Christmas. You put on the little headband, and each of the ELFs emits five mood settings, emits extra low frequency electromagnetic pulses, i.e. pulsed ELF. Yes, people, I said it. Pulsed ELF. This is that low frequency that they've been talking about that can be used to manipulate the brain. They're going to have five settings. You can set them for all the settings. They only allow you to go up to 19 hertz, which will take you just below anything that would make you aggressive. And we have delta wave for sleep, theta wave for meditation, alpha wave for anti-stress or deep learning, beta wave for concentration, and gamma wave for an awake mind. It says it is based upon 50 years of medical and neurological research, and it is fully FDA approved, known as pulsed electromagnetic stimulation, and it has been scientifically proven with health benefits with origins dating back to ancient times. Now, guys, if this was not a Trojan horse, I don't know what is. Do not buy one of these brain pulsed, extremely low frequency brain tweakers to give them access. Guys, this is unbelievable. They are putting out this technology, this very same technology that we've been looking at, and we haven't quite gotten to this VLF or the pulsed ELF, but these are your brain frequencies. They want you to start tweaking them with your smart device. All right, guys, well, make sure you stick to those.